Gosh, that's something. At least our hooter still works.
Mr. Phillips, I haven't signed for the ship yet. Leave everything alone. Don't touch.
Are you absolutely sure this ship is old Troutbridge? She doesn't look right.
Don't look right?
No.
Well, why not, sir? She's painted grey, blunt at one end and pointed at the other.
Exactly. The old Troutbridge was blunt at both ends.
Yeah, thanks to your attempts to dock at high speed, she was.
Of course, that's what's bending his little bonce. If a ship isn't covered in dense patches and temporary repairs, she can't possibly be his.
I say, what's this thing? It looks like a great big typewriter. This wasn't here before. Chief, give us a hand to move it. It's in the way.
You'll leave it alone.
You don't agree. Pertwee's not going nowhere near it until Pertwee knows what preposity it's there for.
I say, chaps, have you noticed? There are two little push buttons, one each side. I wonder what they do.
Don't touch!
No, there's no need to shout. I was only going to give one of them a little push.
Yeah, that's probably all it needs to start World War III. Put us and our brand new unbent boat into orbit.
If violets are red and daffodils are blue, which one shall I push? You or you?
Don't touch!
That settles it. It's going to be you. What a bit of luck. Red's always been my favourite colour.
Oh, no! Sound the alarm!
Run for your lives! Everybody down!
Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans, and starring Leslie Phillips, John Pertwee, and Stephen Murray.
Come on, you chaps. If you must crouch down there on all fours, at least you might face this way. It would improve the view.
Is it safe to get up?
Fetch the ammo. Pertwee don't want to be contaminated. He don't want a nasty attack of the VHFs.
VHFs?
I imagine a nasty attack of the VHFs is a Pertweeism for radioactivity.
Oi! Own up! Come on! Own up! Who was the culprit, eh?
Who's he?
Gentlemen, this is Mr. Harris, the chief engineer of the dockyard. He's been responsible for the refit of Troutbridge. And until I accept Troutbridge on behalf of Her Majesty, she remains hers.
Oi! Stop chatting among yourselves. All I want to know is, who's the idiot who tampered with my nana?
Eh? What?
Bum?
You heard? Which of you twits pressed the button on my nautical aid to navigational accuracy?
Nautical aid? Oh, I see. N-A-N-A. Nana. How jolly clever.
It was him.
It was him.
It was them.
Well, I don't care who it was, but it better not happen again until Big Ears over here is signed for the ship. Once he's signed on the dotted line, I don't give an Ooslem bird's egg what you push off.
Mr. Harris, I've had quite enough of your insolence, and I am not signing for this ship or its equipment.
Or even an Ooslem bird's egg.
Or even an Ooslem bird's egg. Quiet, Chief.
Now, if I remember correctly, according to Dr. Loxley Calthorpe's Encyclopedia for Junior Chaps, it says the Ooslem bird flies round and round in ever-decreasing circles until it finally disappears.
Now see what you've done, Pertwee.
Of course, in the first year, the Ooslem birds all fly dead straight. It's once they start to turn left the trouble starts.
Oh, so that's why nobody's ever shot an Ooslem bird. One minute they're there, and the next minute they're all gone.
Oi, you're chatting among yourselves again. Never mind about self-destructing Ooslem birds. Who prodded my nana, eh?
No, just a minute. I'm a bit lost. What's all this about these Ooslem birds? How do they self-destruct? And why would they be all right if they flew straight? And how do they make themselves disappear? I mean, where do they go before they're all gone?
Is he for real?
I think we'd better get back to your Nana problem, Mr. Harrison.
Right. The noise you heard was my Nana's alarm signal, warning everybody that it was being operated by some idiot of a naval officer who didn't know what he was doing of.
Gosh, thanks.
My pleasure. Now, this booklet here is my Nana's instruction manual. The operational intricacies of operating it are simplicity itself. In fact, mere child's play.
Yeah, well, that should suit our note to go Nana down to the deck.
Do you mind?
Oi!
Sorry.
To the practiced eye, you will have observed that there are two buttons on the side. One coloured blue and one coloured red.
You mean these two down here?
Don't touch!
Thank you. That could have been very nasty. Press those two together, and you not only lock this Nana, but also my Nana Mark II.
You mean there's another one?
Of course. This Nana controls your navigation, and its sister Nana, Mark II in the operations room, controls and fires the guns.
If they're that good, it seems to make us chaps a bit unnecessary.
Rubbish. Someone's got to press the right button at the right time. Let me give you an example. I'll just switch on. Now, let us assume that you're lost at sea, which, with little Blondie here, is more than likely.
Hey, you're right, sir. You're dead right, sir. With Mr. Phillips as navigating officer, our ship don't get followed by albatrosses. We get followed by Usman birds.
That reminds me, these Usman birds, I do mean to ask, where do they go before they're all gone? How do they...
Oi! Don't interrupt in mid-demonstrate. Now, you're lost in the Indian Ocean, so all you have to do is to ask my Nana by typing in the appropriate question, i.e., give present longitude and latitude. There we are. Absolutely spot on.
Sorry, but your Nana is mistaken. That Latty thing and longy what's it is, Portsmouth. And even lovable Leslie knows that Portsmouth isn't in the Indian Ocean. You can't catch me.
This may take a little longer than I thought. Perhaps you'd have a go. Go on, ask my Nana a question.
Right. I'll give it a jolly hard one. Right. And ready? Dear Nana, tell me where we are now.
Well, what's it say, Mr. Phillips?
It says, you are on the bridge, you idiot.
Well, at least it's accurate, Mr. Harrison. On both counts.
I wonder which button you push to get an apology.
Don't touch. Nanas don't give apologies.
Then in that case, I shall ignore his Nana completely. If I have to refer to it, as far as I'm concerned, it's ill-bred Fred.
Noddy, calm down. Give Nana... ill-bred Fred, one more chance.
Very well. I am, I hope, a fair man.
Is it? Blonde to your dark roots.
Now, don't you start. Just one more from you, mate, and you'll get a knuckle sandwich up your throat.
Pardon?
Get a what?
It's a phrase he picked up on leave in London. Instead of going into the walled-off restaurant, he went into a wimpy bar. Asked the manager for the wine list. That's where he learnt the phrase. Ask your bread Fred your second question, right, Mr. Phillips.
If you insist. Question. Where is HMS Troutbridge now?
What's it say?
It says, answer... In the water, you idiot. That does it. That knuckle sandwich does it. If ill-bred Fred feeds on questions, as far as I'm concerned, he could jolly well die of starvation.
It's odd, isn't it? I wonder why it's so polite to Mr. Oi Harris and keeps calling Mr. Phillips an idiot.
Well, simple, sir. Takes one Nana to tell another.
Well, really. Tangaraba, dictator phones of Kyoto, Japan, and their band of happy workers wish you honorable ecstasy with your new cassette recorder. How nice. Now,
microphone plugged in, record switched down. No, that's not it. That's the fast rewind button. Oh, blast, I'll never get the hang of this contraption. Now, where's the pamphlet? Ah, here we are, listen. To record your voices, be pressing third button with the first thumb and be speaking into the Mickey phone. Blasted oriental rubbish.
Yes, Captain Povey?
Francesca, have we got any Japanese sailors in the Navy?
Not that I've noticed, sir. Why?
Pity, I could do with one or two to try and translate the English in the instruction book of this beastly dictation machine.
Well, I do hope you get the hang of that machine before long, sir, because it does make typing your letters a bit complicated at present. The first one I played back this morning started, without further delay, signed Captain Povey, Defence and Victory Medal RN, and Hell's Bells and the Little Wheels Aren't Going Round.
Yes, well, obviously I'd forgotten to push the third button down until the last minute.
No, sir. Judging by the rumbly tum noises I got beforehand, I think you've got your little Mickey phone in the wrong place.
Oh, good grief. Wretches, stop wasting my time. I've got to master this machine.
Aye, aye, sir. And remember, to record your voices, it's a third...
I know the one. I should never have let women in the service, let alone elsewhere. Now, to record your voices, be pressing down the third button with the first thumb. Right, done that. Dear Admiral, I am in receipt of your Nelson Snickers. What is it now?
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. Commander Murray to see you.
You did say it was early.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Yes, wheel him in. Wheel him in.
Wheel me in, you may, Captain Povey, but flip me out, you won't.
I beg your pardon.
I haven't finished. Unless there's been a ridiculous mistake, Captain Povey, would you confirm that you are responsible for issuing sailing orders to Troutbridge and ordering us to patrol the coast of Forbodia?
I most certainly did. There is liable to be a flare-up between the Forbodian Navy and the Igerlandic Navy, and Troutbridge is required to protect our...
Well, you'll have to send some other ship, sir. We've not yet completed our shakedown trials. She's full of new equipment we're not familiar with.
She's also full of old equipment you're not familiar with.
I am not arguing with the Murray. Troutbridge sails for Forbodia immediately, and that's an order.
Then let me remind you, sir, that I have not yet accepted the ship from the dockyard authorities. If you insist on making a sail, Mr. Harris will have to sail with us. I am not signing for that ship until I'm satisfied.
I don't care if you sail with Mr. Harris's wife and his 18 children. Put to sea at once and get to Forbodia to show the flag before the fools start blowing each other's boats out of the water.
Well, intelligence reckons the balloon is about to go up over
this
there.
This is ridiculous. We can't stop other people's wars in a dodgy ship.
Rubbish. The Navy didn't spend thousands of pounds refitting your ship to have her pottery round the bay for a bit of fishing. She's a warship, so go and stop a war for a change instead of starting one.
Who is without?
Not me, I assure you. The Chancellor of the Forbodian Exchequer is here.
Show him in, Nanu.
He has already been.
Mr. Prime Minister, I bring grave news. According to our intelligence unit, MI Forbodian 5, the Igerlandic Navy has set sail for our shores to bomb and shell us out of existence. I need your signature on this declaration of war immediately so that I can mobilize the Forbodian Navy to defend our shores from the Igerlandic invaders. Sign here, Prime Minister. There is no time to lose.
Aye. But it's not as simple as that. There's the expense to be considered, apart from the wear and tear on the pen. Once our ships start to move through the water, the salt will eat away at the grey paint. Even at the supermarket, it's 78 Forbodian P a pint.
But, Mr. Prime Minister, in another 6 hours, the enemy will be at our very shores. We must attack first.
Out of the question. Shells cost money. You know the new.
But the Igerlanders will blow us to bits if our navy doesn't stop them.
That's as may be. They may destroy our island and our homes and kill all of us. But with the price of shells as they are, they'll ruin their own economy.
They'll be opening fire on us in 6 hours, unless our navy puts to sea at once and opens fire first.
6 hours, do you say? Well, that makes a difference. In 5 hours' time, I leave for Moscow for talks. So as you're the deputy prime minister, all the expenditure for the shells will be down to you, not to me.
Thank you very much, prime minister. I'll put the Forbodian fleet to sea at once. Incidentally, before I go, there is something I've been dying to know for ages. Ooh. As Forbodian prime minister, why have you got such a terrible Scottish accent?
I came here on a package tour from Aberdeen. 35 years ago, I lost my return ticket.
That would account for it.
Excuse me, Mr. Phillips, sir, but begging yours and ill-bred Fred's pardon, but it's about the navigation hooks.
Yes, Chief, what about them?
Well, we've been going full ahead at 30 knots for the last 3 days, sir.
Yeah, so ill-bred Fred is supposed to know what he's doing. That's always been your trouble, Pertley. You're one of the old school. You're not up with we modern scientists.
Oh, possibly not, sir. But I've been watching our fuel gauge dropping for the last 2 days, and reluctantly I've come to the conclusion we are face to face with an attack of the unfortunates.
Such as what?
Such what as, sir? With our diminishing fuel, if ill-bred Fred don't turn us about a bit sharpish in the near future, i.e. the next 45 seconds, we'll either have to find a garage, and you may recall we haven't passed one since we left Portsmouth, or we'll have to swim back.
What? Mr. Phillips, you must have fed it the wrong information.
I can't have done. It called me an idiot.
Yes, well. Yeah, well, Fred might have a bit of a point there, sir. Before sailing, you forgot to refuel.
Mr. Phillips, this is an emergency. Do something. Disconnect ill-bred Fred and assume manual control. Get the ship turned around immediately.
Right, yes, you're absolutely right, yes. Right, don't panic. No, I got it, sir. Right, sir. Yeah, right, right. Do what, sir? Oh, yes, yes, right, yes. I'll press the blue button.
Don't touch!
Now, isn't that odd? When I pressed the little blue button, the little red button didn't pop out.
You great steaming twit. Now both buttons are pressed in. That's exactly what Mr. Harris said you mustn't do.
Oh, Clang.
Oi! Who was the cat who tampered with my nana this time?
It was him.
It was him.
It was them.
Well, you've really gone dumb this time, haven't you? Now you've got the red and the blue buttons jammed in. You know what you've done, don't you?
No.
Well, it's nothing to worry about. Just that thanks to you, you can't alter your course and you can't fire your guns.
Well, that's all right, then. I was rather afraid I might have put a spanner in ill-bred Fred's works.
Yeah, well, I might have been a sight safer if you had, sir. According to your charts, there's a dirty great lump of land about 40 miles ahead of us. But thanks to you with your dexterous digits on Fred's buttons, we're heading straight forward at 30 knots and liable to get our barnacles sharply scraped off our bottom.
Oh, nasty.
Oi, you, big ears, what are you going to do about it, eh?
Sorry, I was watching the radar.
Watching what?
That thing with the bleeps all over it.
Bleeps all over it? Oh, aren't they pretty? What are they?
Well, I don't want to worry you, gentlemen, and I know it's ridiculous, but it seems to me that those bleeps could mean that there are two foreign navies facing each other about a mile apart.
And that in about 3 minutes' time, we're going to sail straight through the middle of them.
Exactly.
I don't think I feel very well.
If there's any justice after jamming ill-bred Fred, you'll die with your boots on.
Officers don't wear boots. They wear shoes.
Oi, you're chatting among yourselves again. Pack it in.
Sorry, Mr. Harris. What do you suggest we do?
Well, the action I know. I'm a nana expert, not the naval knit in a flat hat. Somehow you've got to turn this tub around and get it back to Portsmouth by Friday evening. Absolutely vital, that is.
Why?
Because I've got a union meeting.
I should have guessed.
Mr. Morris, sir. Mm? It's not sir, it's all.
Whatever's the matter, Chief? Something too tight.
Yes, sir, very. On either side.
What? Rummy, where did all those ships come from?
In the blue corner of the Forbodian Navy, sir. And in the red corner of the Argolandic Navy, sir. And smack bang in the middle corner, sir, Trout Bridge. And they're both pointing everything they've got at us.
Ooh, nasty.
Mr. Harris, quick, do something. Disconnect ill-bred Fred.
I can't. Leastways, not until you stop engines.
What?
Well, why the... But no, didn't you say so before? Mr. Phillips, stop engines.
Stop engines.
Stop engines, it is, sir.
This hole, this is going to be cozy. Right now, Pertwee, we'll give a fortune to be an Ouseland bird.
Ah, now, you chaps never did explain how the Ouseland bird... Commander Murray, sir, I hardly think this is the time.
And it's certainly not the place. Look, Pertwee's in a panic. Pertwee don't want to be the filling in the battle sandwich. Somebody paddle Pertwee back to Portsmouth.
To record my voices, be pressing down the third button with the first thumb. Right.
Radio Pertwee, testing, 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 1, 2, 3. Some enchanted evening, you will see a Henry, you will see a Henry across a crowded...
Mayday, mayday, mayday. Snap us to port beam up 500. Get as many as you can, chaps.
Tell the wind code to let the woman know that Coldish won't break her Henry. Oh, I've got a lovely bunch of...
I'm sure you have, sir. Congratulations.
Oh, it was nothing, Your Majesty. Anyone in my possibly you wanted me, Renchason. I was just testing my dictation machine.
Oh, really, sir? Admiral Fafont Bittux is in the outer office.
No, he blasted, isn't he? Blasted here.
Oh, what a pleasure to see you, sir. What a pleasure to have such a distinguished visitor to my modest little...
Over, you clown! Where do you want your court-martial? Down here or at Whitehall?
I don't think it really matters. I'll fit in with whatever's most... My what?
Your court-martial. You weren't expecting anything less, were you? I mean, there were these two perfectly innocent enemy fleets facing each other. All set to blow each other out of the water, and what happens? You interfere. Have the gods send Troutbridge right down the middle of them so they can't have their little war in peace. Oh, no.
Just a minute, Admiral. You can't blame me.
Correction, I can, and I just have. Baffled the other foreign twits were, baffled. It's a bit much when you're about to whang shells at each other and then find you can't. Because a great big lump of old iron with a white ensign on it parks in the middle of the pitch.
Oh, good grief. That could have started an international incident. A court-martial, Commander Murray, at once, sir. You've no choice. Oh, naturally, I shall be sorry to see the entire crew of Troutbridge dismiss the service, but they've only themselves to blame. Hmm? I'm sure they will be the first to admit it.
Commander Murray, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips and CPO Pertwee are waiting, sir. You asked to see them the moment they docked.
Oh, yes, yes. Send them in at once. Now we'll get at the truth, Admiral. Uh-huh. Now they'll tell you how it was all their fault.
Good morning, Daddykins. Admiral. Captain Pertwee.
Good morning, Murray. Enjoy your trip?
Not really, sir.
No, neither did I. I broke my new Nana.
How nonsense, sir. It was merely that you've never known how to use it properly.
Yes, I got to admit I do need a little more experience.
There you are, condemned out of their own mouth. They should never have taken Troutbridge to Forbodia in the first place. I'm sure I warned them not to sail.
You what?
In fact, I believe I insisted that they took the Nana expert, Mr. Harris, with them.
Of all the lies?
No. I'm sorry, Admiral, but with an expert on board, using a broken Nana as an excuse just doesn't stand up. I did all I could to prevent this incident.
Well, Murray, this looks blasted serious. Have you got anything to say for yourself?
Well, yes, I...
No, he hasn't, sir, no, but, Captain Pertwee has, sir.
I have?
Yes, sir. Leastways, you had. Pertwee, what are you...
Leave him alone, Mr. Phillips. I think I recognize the look in his eye.
Eye? He's got twos.
Stop counting and listen.
Thank you very much, sir. Captain Pertwee, sir, I gather that you've been having trouble working your dictaphone.
Wren Chasen thought it might help if I showed you how to use it.
Creeping ivy, Pertwee, this is hardly the time
With respect, Admiral, with respect, sir. It most certainly is. You see, I've borrowed this old cassette from the outer office, Captain Povey, and I've placed it in your dictionary plate. So,
Pertwee, what do you think of...
As you have said to Mr. Phillips, sir, one shouldn't muck about with machinery if you don't know how to use it. Condemned out of his own mouth, I believe was the expression.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was, Chief. Do go on.
Yeah, more pleasure, sir. Now then, a press button forward, a second thumb for playback, and...
You'll have to send some other ship, sir. We've not yet completed our shutdown trials. She's full of new equipment we're not familiar with.
Stop that! Stop! That was a private conversation. How did you get...
Well, somebody forgot he'd press the recording button down, didn't he?
What a shame.
Yeah, well, the chat continues.
And I'm not arguing with you, Murray. Troutbridge sails for Forbodia immediately, and that's an order. Then let me remind you, sir, that I have not accepted the ship from the dockyard authority.
Turn it off! Beastly oriental rubbish, I'm through here.
Yes, Povey, I'd say that's a fair assessment. You'll see me in my office at 4. Cheerio, chaps. Thanks so much for stopping the war.
We may have stopped one war, but I have a sneaky feeling we may have started another one.
That won't come back. It's all lies. The tape has been edited. Yes, that's what it is. They do it on the telly. They chop out bits here, and they chop out bits there.
I know. Captain Powley, sir, I wouldn't talk about the chop if I were you. I reckon you're for one yourself.
Rather, he's going to disappear like an Ooslem bird.
Oh, that reminds me. You chaps never did explain the Ooslem bird disappearing. Where it goes after all...
Forget it!
Leslie Phillips, John Pertwee and Stephen Murray were being rude to their Nana in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans. Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Stephen Murray was the CO, Richard Caldicott was Captain Povey, Heather Chasen was Wren Chasen, Michael Bates was Mr. Harris, and Tenniel Evans was Admiral Firfan Bittocks. The announcer was Michael Meach. The show was produced by Alastair Scott Johnson.